reading from Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's perfect will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 from the New Living Translation.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, March 19th, 2024. And if you were tuned in yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard a message from just about a month ago from Dr. Kevin Teal. He serves in a variety of capacities at First Christian in Champaign. Are you a deacon or an elder?
Elder.
An elder there. I can't wait to share you with our listeners on this Testimony Tuesday, because here you have this great career as a neurosurgeon. You've worked with Carl, paid well, you get the glory of the titles, some of the fame of your husband's a doctor, or, you know, people referring to you as Dr. Teal. And yet God has taken you on this new, unique faith journey, stepping out, stepping away from something that you achieved in hours upon hours of study, of preparation. But he's got you in this new journey where you're preaching and teaching, whereas now you're working on a Master's of Divinity and being certified and credentialed to be able to preach or be used of God in a variety of ways. So we're going to talk about that with some of the faith journey. But if you missed yesterday's broadcast, Holly and I happened to be invited to First Christian from some friends, and we went, and Dr. Teal was up on stage and presented a message, and I thought, that'll preach anywhere. That was a great message. I took a lot of notes, which I happened to not bring with me today. In fact, all my show prep sheets about properly introducing you, Dr. Teal, are at home, but I was moved by your message, so much so that Holly returned home, got Esther, and returned back to hear it again. You talked about John the Baptist and some of the messages that resonated with me about where John said, he must become greater, I must become less, and the heart of reaching people with that good news message. And so if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. And look for the title, The Manifold Witness for Christ, The Manifold Witness of Christ. And that'll give you kind of a primer for today. But today I asked Dr. Teal to come into the studio and share some of his faith journey, maybe a little of the love story, how you met Yvonne and how God has blessed you with two children. And then certainly I want you to save time to walk us through JAR. So, Dr. Teal, welcome to our studios. Thank you for being a blessing to our community. I'm going to have you fill in some of this, but from memory, you've been a physician for Carl for a number of years. You went through a lot of the rigors of becoming a physician, all the classwork and all the study, and you've lived in a number of different states. But what would you want our listeners to know about you, and maybe fill in a little of your background?
Well, I want them to know that I'm just a committed follower of Jesus and a servant who's trying to do what the Master wants in the time that I have allotted, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was great to get the opportunity to come and share. You mentioned my wife, Yvonne. We've been married 32 years in May, and have a son, Gabriel, adult son, Gabriel, and adult daughter, Carissa. And Gabe's in Philly. Carissa's in Dallas, got married in October. So Yvonne and I met when she was a student at Texas Women's University. I was finishing up med school in the summer of 1990. And I was up to mischief, moving into a predominantly female dorm that TW had on our campus. And I wasn't supposed to meet Yvonne, but I went a day early to check in. And I met Yvonne, who was an RA at the building. And I was like, wow, I mean, God must have left an angel down here or something. And so we started talking, and she wasn't very interested. So a couple of months later, we met again, so to speak, and she was more interested. So we were able to start a relationship, and God showed me then that she was a kingdom woman. She was attending E.K. Bailey's church in Dallas, sitting under very strong pastoring, and had been praying for a husband. And God, at that point, was speaking to me about getting some things in order and told me that if he gave me a wife like Yvonne, playtime was over. So we got engaged and got married in 92, and it's just been an amazing ride ever since.
Now, you referenced her seemingly being a follower of Jesus. What was some of your faith journey? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not grow up in a Christian home. I came to Christ watching Christian television at around age 8 or 9. And my brothers and I, 2 brothers and a sister, prayed to receive Christ. We weren't involved in a church at that time. God began moving, and we found a church probably about 1 mile from our house that we were going to for vacation Bible school. We were able to get dialed in and ultimately got baptized there in 76 when I was 12. And God had me involved in youth ministry and things like that. But I really wasn't a student of the word, so I wasn't growing as a really spiritually mature disciple in that season. So I went off to college and came back and was sitting at the same church, and a mentor of mine asked me a question that really changed my trajectory. He asked me what was the most important thing I'd ever done. And I had gotten graduated from college, getting ready to go to med school, so I was getting ready to put something like that down. And he said, the most important thing you've ever done is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that was just like I was standing in a forest by myself for a moment. And God really just told me that I needed to reset my priorities.
And so Yvonne was being used of God to help you maybe get a little more focused. And when did you feel this calling to go beyond being this doctor that you worked so hard for to following the Lord to now serve him with preaching and teaching and being credentialed as a pastor?
Well, God had to do some prep work before he bought a gem like Yvonne to me. So I started reading the Bible in 87, and I'd probably gotten through the Bible by 88. And I realized how far I was from what God had for me. So that was in my first 2 years of med school. And so I just really had began a journey of walking closer with God, lining up with the best I could, understand the Spirit. I met Yvonne later and got involved with a men's group that was talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how he's come to make us holy. Newsflash. Yeah. So I was able to line up with that, understand the intent and the purpose and the fruit of the Spirit. So by the time I met Yvonne, God had done a lot of pruning. So she was able to avoid some of the wilderness years. Yeah.
Now, we opened up the program reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I think I told you beforehand, I think Roger Powell, who was on one of the better U of I basketball teams, had that on his sneaker. And we called him the Rev. But why is this an important verse? And when did this become maybe a life verse or a go-to verse for you?
Well, I think this probably became a life verse for me in that 87, 88 time frame, because what it really spoke to me is the presenting of our bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul says here, that's the way to truly worship him. And I think I was giving God a lot of other things. God, I'll give you a little money now and again. I'll give you a little time now and then. But I hadn't surrendered my whole self to God. So doing that, right, body, mind, spirit, that's when things began to line up, I think, with what God had for me, because I stopped fighting with God over nonsense, right? And then just being able to look at the world differently and see that there is a different mindset that's in the world that doesn't think about God, doesn't honor God. And so I was copying those ways. That was my template, right? And so once I could understand what God's will is, that it's good, pleasing, and perfect, that it's not something to run away from or to be afraid of, that was really a game changer for me in my Christian walk. I realized that God had a great plan for me, and I didn't need to fight that. I didn't need to resist that. In fact, things in my life went a whole lot better when I flowed with that.
And I like this part. Then you will be able to test and approve. So God gives us discernment, insight, the Spirit's leading. I think recently we talked about those fruits of the Spirit that should be evident in all of us. But I love this part in the first half, holy and pleasing to God. It's one of those concepts, if you really grapple with it, you mean we can bring pleasure or we can please God. I love to think that something that I do or a practice or a habit or a focus is pleasing, like God is delighting in it.
Right.
And sometimes people might not ever think about that they can bring pleasure. They can bring, I don't know, how do you bring encouragement to God because he's so perfect and all-knowing and doesn't need anything, immutable and doesn't change, but there are things that we can do that pleases God. So you're on this faith journey, you're pleasing God, he's directing your path, you're open to his leading. How do you go from making the jump from being this physician, this surgeon, a neurosurgeon, to saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to give up that occupation and step out and make a lot less money? How did you walk through that, and how did your wife accept that?
Well, I think my wife has been on a journey with me. I accepted my calling to preach in 1995. Mm-hmm. We had been married 3 years at that point. And at that season, I had not seriously thought about doing full-time ministry. You know, growing up, I stood up straight, conjugate my verbs. So people thought, mm-hmm. well, you're going to be a pastor. Or you're going to be. I was like, I knew enough about God not to play with God in that area. So I was like, no, I still have too much foolishness I got to work out. Yeah. So I'm not willing to try to act like I'm something I'm not. So in 95, I was ready. I had been around, again, some mature teaching and mature preaching, and I felt God calling me. So I accepted my license to preach, or started accepting the calling to preach, got licensed to preach at First Baptist Church in Hamilton Park, Richardson, Texas. So I started that journey of surrender. And at that point, there was some discussion about whether I leave medicine at that point. I was in my third year of residency at that point, and the pastor and the team said, you know what, we think God can use you in neurosurgery. Mm-hmm. So ride that bus until God says it's time to get off. So I stayed on and did that for 25, 30 years, and just started sensing that God was needing me or wanted me in a different arena. And I enjoyed the surgery piece, but that's a life. That's a real life. That's a life that's a grind. That's a life that has its own pressures and stressors. And I just felt like I'm an all-in kind of person, so I'm all in, rah, rah, rah. And I just sensed that God was telling me it was time to pivot. And I've always enjoyed ministry. I did ministry and medicine together. But I sensed that God was telling me it was time to transition to full-time ministry. And the chaplaincy appealed to me just from seeing a chaplain friend in the Army. And so I just felt like God wanted me to be in that space of able to help people in a secular space, but also have a kingdom perspective. And so that's the path we're on, pursuing a Master's of Divinity online through Liberty University, finishing in August 2024, prayerfully, and then going into some training on clinical pastoral education with the chaplaincy track. But the chaplaincy track is interesting because you can do military, you can do corporate, you can do health, you can do sports. So it's interesting to see. And I think really it's a chance to be a kingdom presence wherever we are, which I think is really the calling of all believers, but getting equipped and ready to help people in crisis.
Right? Yeah, I know Dr. David Webb, I've referred to him, and he's been on a number of Mark and Friends programs in the past, but he's still a physician with Carl, I think, in his mid-70s. And he's like, Lord, when are you going to release me so I can, because he teaches Bible studies. I attend once a month, and he also pastors on Sundays and does a lot of different things and has a Friday night Bible study, but he really wants to be all in, but God won't release him yet. And he says he's waiting, and I think he's reduced the patient load, but he's still very much serving, but he touches so many different lives and so many different people. Oh, he's my physician. Yeah, he's my doctor. But God does have unique callings on all of us. And one of the things you shared was about JAR. And Holly's had that practice of prayer. And you and I talked before this program about some of the ways saying the Lord's Prayer. But God walked you through a special way of approaching him, talking with him. So it's the word JAR, J-A-R. And walk us through how that came to mind.
Well, I mentioned a friend of mine asked me that question in between my college and med school time. And the question prompted the answer of Jesus is our most important association. And so I just felt so distant from where I needed to be. And he mentioned that to get to where God wanted me to be, I'd have to be a student of God's word. Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand God without reading his word. And I told him my reticence or reluctance to read the word because I got lost in the baguettes or so and some of these stories that didn't seem to be relevant. But he helped me see that the JAR, which is John, Acts, and Romans, allows us to approach the Bible from a way that's going to allow us to understand who Jesus is in John, understand who the Holy Spirit is in Acts, and understand who we are in Christ in Romans. And he says, from that approach to reading John, Acts, and Romans, one chapter a day, it'd take you roughly 90 days. He said, then you could go on to read the rest of the New Testament, being informed about what you're reading and who you're reading about. Then you can go read the Old Testament and understand how those stories apply and point to Christ. And so it's a way of approaching initial Bible study that allows you to then springboard into hopefully reading a chapter a day in other books, Galatians or Jeremiah. And so now my regimen is I have a reading program of the New Testament, Old Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms, one chapter a day from each. And that allows me to really get a panoramic view of the Bible. So I understand what was done in the New Testament. I understand the seeds of that in the Old Testament. And then I understand the process of praise in Psalms, and I understand the process of wisdom in Proverbs. So it gives me a comprehensive look at the Bible that started with just opening the jar, which is what my friend said. He said, if you open the jar, you can eat from God's word for the rest of your life.
And that jar, again, is the book of John. So if you're tuned into one of our 19 frequencies and you're like, I've never heard people talking about enjoying reading the Bible or having a relationship with God. I don't know if I even believe God exists, but the book of John is the life story of Jesus, from how he walked on this earth, how he taught, how he represented God, more than represented God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus claimed to be the one and only way to God the Father. And so the book of John recounts a lot of that stories. And maybe talk a little about the book of Acts and the book of Romans.
Oh, the book of Acts is amazing because you see Jesus telling his disciples to wait for the power to come from on high. The Holy Spirit comes and they are able to speak the languages of all these people in Jerusalem who are there, and 3,000 people come to Christ that day. Mm-hmm. And Peter, who had deserted God at the end of the New Testament stories and the Gospels, has now been placed in a position of influence through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So Acts walks us through the great move of the Holy Spirit, which is the, I won't say it's the secret sauce, but it's the fundamental fuel that Christians run on. That's what makes the gospel a reality for us and God's love a reality for us. The Holy Spirit impresses on us that this is real. This isn't myth. This isn't science fiction. And then Romans, Paul practically lands the planes for Christians, as he did in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. What does it look like practically to live a life for Christ? And we're going to be in a situation where we're going to look different from the world. Now, we're not going to be looking like Martians and doing stuff that doesn't make sense. We're going to work. We're going to have families. We're going to go to ball games. But we're going to have a God awareness. We're going to have a God sensitivity to understand that everything we have is His, and we are stewards of it. And we're called to love our neighbors. We're called to love Him, and we're called to move forward in a way that accomplishes His purposes for our lives.
You mentioned earlier about graduation coming up in August. So how are you going to know what God's leading is?
Well, I joke that I've written God a blank check. Mm-hmm. And so I've asked God to fill it in. And so I've seen God showing up in very sovereign ways. And so for me, I'll be getting some training, hopefully, in the clinical pastoral education realm, which is learning how to help people in crisis in the healthcare system, but also in every system because it ripples. And then I hope to be able to write. I hope to be able to start writing, whether that's sermons or whether that's helpful text. And then just continue to preach and really lead people to understand the glory of God and the love of God and be able to walk in that empowered state to be the best impact players for the kingdom wherever God takes them.
Listening friend, if you just tuned in or missed a portion of today's broadcast, it will be archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. And I mentioned on the front end of the program that yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, I shared a message that Dr. Kevin Teal gave just about a month ago at First Christian in Champaign, and I was just so blessed by it. Right after the service, I hung around and we met up and I said, hey, can I have your card? I want to have you on a future Testimony Tuesday program. And I think with yesterday's message that you gave and some of your faith journey shared today, people can be blessed. And you may know somebody, maybe it's another physician friend of yours or somebody that's wrestling with, is God calling me to pivot and to make a transition into another career calling or to serve Him, short-term, long-term mission opportunities, or something radically different? Or maybe you never looked at your vocation as your calling. God has you right where He wants you, where you can go into all your world and be that pastor, that word of encouragement, that helping hand as the physician or the bookkeeper or the gas station attendant or the grocery store clerk. Whatever it is, God has called us all to be His ambassadors. And so I trust and would pray that as you seek God's leading today, you're going to be maybe confirmed through jars through reading John and studying Acts and going through the book of Romans. It has so much great doctrine, and it points to Jesus. He is Lord and Savior, but have you surrendered? Have you submitted? Are you open to entertaining the idea that as you confess your sins, He will be faithful and trust to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then you'll be that faithful follower. But you have to be equipped with the Holy Spirit. It's not an easy walk. We still fall short, but God is in the business of maturing us, of helping us grow, and then we get to be those ambassadors for Him. Well, Dr. Teal, thank you so much for being available for today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll be praying you up in the days ahead, and can't wait to hear where God places you, how you'll be able to use your gift of studying His Word and proclaiming it in the pulpit in various venues.
Thank you, Mark. Just excited, and just trusting God. And I think I would tell people God has a great love for them. God has shown that love to the nth power, dying for us, rising again on the third day, having all power, and now interceding for us and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, listening friends, read your Bible, get together with some other like-minded believers that follow Jesus, talk through things that you're struggling with, pray for each other, pray for your pastor, and ask the Lord to order your steps this very day, and He will walk with you and work in and through you. Dr. Teal, how about closing our time in prayer? There's a spectrum of listeners, but just pray a blessing over them as they tune in today and go about their day, maybe confused or maybe with lots of heaviness or heartache, to the senior saint that's just wanting to finish well and loves the Lord.
Yes, Father, we thank You for this time to get together and share about Your goodness and Your glory. And so, God, we pray, God, as we thought about the manifold witness for Christ, God, we thought about Your servant, John the Baptist, who said He must decrease so that You can increase, God. And so, God, we pray that all of us who know You as Lord and Savior would be willing to decrease so that Your ministry, Your love, Your compassion can increase in those who we serve around us, God. And Father, we pray for those who haven't made a decision for You, who are doubtful of Your existence, doubtful of Your care for them. Father, we pray, Holy Spirit, You would impress upon them the overwhelming love, the great bountiful love of God for them, and that they would know that they are made in Your image, that they have autonomy, that they have value, that they have social needs, and they also have a purpose. And we pray they would align with that. And we pray that we would all finish well, that we would realize the race isn't over until we open our eyes and see You in glory. And then we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So help us to be mindful that what we do matters, and that You are the most important person in our lives, and help us to encourage others to line up under Your authority for Your purpose and Your will in their lives. And we thank You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.